Good morning, everyone. We have come from many places to share in this time of praise, thanksgiving, and listening for God's word. Let us begin by standing as we are able and speaking these words of Psalm 30. Sing praises to the Lord.
And give thanks to God's holy name.
For the Lord our God has healed us.
When we cried for help.
And restored us.
In times of despair.
The Lord has turned our sorrow into dancing.
Taken our sackcloth from us. And clothed us with joy.
Sing to the Lord without end.
And give thanks to the Lord forever.
Eternal and ever-present God.
Sustain and excite our gathered community.
Arouse our expectancy.
Subdue our expectations.
Come, silent spirit, and embrace us.
Let the words we see and hear and speak and sing be transformed by the word made flesh, that our worship may be wholly yours, Lord God. We pray in the name of the risen Christ.
Amen. Let us tell the truth of who we are to one another and before God. For God calls us in our lives to take a risk, to be like the woman in the gospel who reaches out to Jesus for healing for herself, or the father who risks the scorn of others to bring Jesus to his dying daughter. Let us ponder for a moment the places in our lives where we may resist turning to God for healing and change. When we resist your call to open our hearts to allow the freshness of your grace to enter,
God have mercy.
When we close our eyes to your new and unexpected possibilities of healing and reconciliation,
Christ have mercy.
When we let fear overwhelm us and cling to the security of what we know, instead of risking new steps toward your freedom and justice,
God have mercy.
God's mercies are fresh every morning. In Christ, God offers forgiving grace and welcome into a community of trust, abundance, and hope. Let us give thanks for the mercy of God and pass the peace of Christ in community among us. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
one too. Is my battery working?
No.
Okay. Got to get a new battery. I still would like to invite the little children forward.
Time. Now you can hear me, right? Oh, I don't know what's going on, but okay.
And I would like to include
my little sister. She's a little child of God, too.
Were you?
I really was.
I love it. Sisters in God, right? In Christ. Yeah. Yeah. Come on up a little bit. Come on. You don't have to sit on the floor. No. Okay. We're going to sit. Oh, we're going to sit.
My knees. Yes, you did very well.
And thank you for coming up, sisters in Christ. You know, not at the end of the service, We're going to sing a song like we usually do, right? And I want to tell you, this song is Spanish. It's called When a Poor One. Only in Spanish it would be Cuando el Pobre. Cuando el Pobre. When a Poor One. But we're not going to sing it in Spanish. We're going to sing it in English. Okay? But the reason we're singing this song is because it reminds us how we live in Jesus. How no matter where we are, or whether we're writing songs in Spanish in faraway lands like Argentina, or Mexico, or Nevada, Jesus is with us.
Savannah,
Georgia, yes, Jesus will be with you anywhere you go. I used to hand out every summer a piece of paper with a cutout of Jesus on it. And I didn't even think about it. But it's traveling Jesus. And you stick him in your pocketbook. And that way he's always with you. It's a reminder. Pretty cool, huh? So maybe you could go home and draw a picture of Jesus and cut him out and put him in your little purse. And then you'd have him when you go to Savannah, even though he's already there. Last verse of the song, okay? It says, when our homes are filled with goodness in abundance, when we learn how to make peace instead of war, when each stranger that we meet is called a neighbor, then we know that God still goes that road with us. Then we know that God still goes that road with us. What do you think it means to fill your home with goodness?
Love.
Love. That's a good one. What else might it mean?
Kindness.
Kindness. And who are love and kindness for?
Parents and sisters.
Parents and sisters? How about everybody else in the world? Yeah? Okay, yeah. Do you know about making peace instead of war yet? Have you figured that one out? Nope. Well, I think in here, it means staying out of fights with friends and helping other kids on the playground who are getting into mischief to kind of chill. Does that make sense?
My friends.
There you go. You got to work on that, right? And that's when you know God is with you, is when you're helping to do those things. And when you meet a stranger, are they really strangers or are they neighbors?
Neighbors.
You just don't know them yet. Yeah. Now, my little sis, she's moving to Nevada. Far away. She's going to go to a place where they speak a lot of Spanish. But I think she's going to fill her home with goodness in abundance. She's going to show love and kindness in her new home. And I think that she'll be meeting a lot of strangers, but they will be known as neighbors and friends. And I hope that you'll do that too, Olivia, because that's what it means to live Jesus' way. Okay? That's what it's about. I bless you, my sister. I'll miss you. Shall we pray?
Yes.
Oh, Lord, we are poor ones. We are your children. We seek your help in all things. And we ask that you go with us wherever we go. Help us fill our homes with goodness. Help us make peace instead of war. And help us remember that strangers are simply neighbors we do not yet know. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who goes with us now and always. Amen. Older ladies weaving on stairs. Our reading today comes to us from Mark's Gospel. We're journeying with Jesus through Mark. Comes to us from chapter 5, the middle of chapter 5 to be precise, and it is a rather long reading, but that's only because it's two stories in one. So listen now for those stories and open your mind to Jesus's mind and try to understand what he is saying in these two paired stories. From Mark chapter 5, beginning at 21. And I'm reading in the Common English Bible today, by the way. Jesus crossed the lake again, and on the other side, a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Jairus, one of the synagogue leaders, came forward. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his knees and pleaded with him, "My daughter is about to die. Please come and place your hands on her so that she can be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A swarm of people were following Jesus, crowding in on him, and a woman was there who had been bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a lot under the care of many doctors and had spent everything she had without getting any better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Because she had heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothing. She was thinking, "If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." Her bleeding stopped immediately, and she sensed in her body that her illness had been healed. At that very moment, Jesus recognized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "Don't you see the crowd pressing against you? Yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus looked around carefully to see who had done it. The woman, full of fear and trembling, came forward. Knowing what had happened to her, she fell down in front of Jesus and told him the whole truth. And he responded, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, healed from your disease." While Jesus was still speaking with her, messengers came from the synagogue leader's house saying to Jairus, "Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher any longer?" But Jesus overheard their report and said to the synagogue leader, "Don't be afraid, just keep trusting. He didn't allow anyone to follow him except Peter, James, and John, James's brother. They came to the synagogue leader's house, and he saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "What's all this commotion and crying about? The child isn't dead. She's only sleeping." They laughed at him, but he threw them all out. Then, taking the child's parents and his disciples with him, he went to the room where the child was. Taking her hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Young woman, get up." And suddenly the young woman got up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old, and they were shocked. He gave them strict orders that no one should know what had happened. Then he told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, a few years ago, there was a craze for an all-natural product that promised that you would look phenomenal if you just use it. The product was marketed by It Works, sort of a contemporary Amway kind of thing. Only instead of laundry soap, they sell, they're still in business, drinkable greens. That was what they were called, greens. And chewy squares full of probiotics. And that crazy wrap thing, that's their number one product. That's actually the name of the product, that crazy wrap thing. You twist some of this plastic wrap stuff, it looks like saran wrap, and you wrap it around your middle, and within minutes, the overhang evaporates. Yeah? Some of my Facebook friends have posted testimonies proclaiming the wonders of that crazy wrap thing and drinkable greens and how great they felt. You know, it's all good. But it seems a little too good to be true. But that crazy wrap thing actually symbolizes our desire for good health. You can't live a full life without good health. It's priceless. And along with good, loving relationships, it's usually one of the top two wishes on most people's list. Good health was just as important in Jesus' time, maybe more so. The woman with the 12-year-long hemorrhage would tell us her illness had not simply affected her ability to make a living. It had isolated her. The hemorrhage made her an untouchable in that community. As in the early days of COVID, no one knew what caused the disease that she had or how communicable it was. That lack of knowledge caused undeniable fear. So, in ancient Palestine, anyone with any illness actually became a pariah. If you hope to live near your neighbors, couldn't have a disease. And if you didn't, and someone else did, you steered clear of them. You just banished them. Yet surprisingly, she has pressed her way into the crowd around Jesus as he walked through town. And the fact that the girl's father begged Jesus for help, that's also kind of surprising. So many children in those days succumbed to diseases that they, especially sick girls, were not given much value. And yet here, how much Jairus loved his daughter is obvious. The man falls to his knees as if bowing to a king on her behalf. Her health and well-being
were the top priority of his heart on that day. And he may have been a synagogue leader, yet he took a huge risk with the other leaders. Everyone believed that traveling rabbis were less than respected members of the religious hierarchy. So Jairus' behavior could easily cast his whole family out of upper crust society. Yet out of love, Jairus turned his back on the demands of the synagogue leadership. And in moving through the crowd to touch his clothing, the hem of his robe, as is written in some translations, the woman denied the isolation that was mandated by her community. They both knew neighbors would view their actions as undignified, and they both knew their reputations were at stake, and they knew, too, that their lives were at stake. And who's to say that this traveling rabbi would even act with compassion, let alone heal them? The question had to be on Jairus' mind, and it lingered in the woman's head as she defiantly made her way through the crowd that lined the dusty path that Jesus trod into town. In their own ways, each one took up the challenge thrown at them by life, accepting the risk of losing even more of their world, and prayed in faith for Jesus' help. Both Jairus and the woman were in life and death situations. The woman had spent all she had on physicians. If she couldn't buy food, she wasn't going to live. And Jairus' daughter was actively dying. All the same, both had to sense a nagging worry. Will Jesus hear me? Will he care for me, for my loved one? Will he cure this illness? Tough questions. But the woman pulled herself up and took a deep breath, thinking, if I can just touch his clothing, I'll be healed. And as she touched that clothing, healing happened. Pretty miraculous. And a few minutes later, Jesus was met by mourners at the gate to Jairus' house. Shaking off their fears, he took a deep breath, went inside. His words were simple. Talitha kum. And she rose up as if from death to new life. Jesus had heard their prayers. He had. Now, as a scientific Presbyterian, I am rather skeptical of faith healings, just saying. But I know there is great power in prayer. And I believe that God works through highly educated men and women of science to bring about medicines and curative techniques each and every day. I do. And I believe, simultaneously, that the Holy Spirit hears our prayers. God listens with compassion and does what's best for everyone touched by the situation. Jesus listened to the woman who touched him. He didn't scold her or push her away, even if by touching him, some of the power had gone out of him. But what if, even with fervent prayer, healing doesn't happen? What if our prayers aren't answered as we'd like?
Does it mean that God isn't listening? Based on his interaction with Jairus and this hemorrhaging woman, as well as other memories of his actions with other people in all the Gospels, we believe that Jesus wants the best for us. He heard them and responded as they had hoped. But I still wonder, how many others in that crowd hope for cures that day? Probably a good number of them. Maybe all. I mean, don't we all reach out to hope when we're afraid or need a cure? We don't know how Jesus responded to the rest of the day's crowd. Yet throughout Scripture, we hear time and again that Jesus healed people who were brought to him. So why doesn't it always feel as though our prayers are being answered? You know, life throws curveballs that leave us kind of batting at air. And pray though we might, we sometimes wonder, what's in God's mind that things cannot turn out as we want? The book of Job has a great deal to say on this matter. The whole book. But for now, God speaks in chapter 38, verse 4, these words. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? In other words, you know, I'm in charge. God is God and does what God deems best, even when we want a different response. Sometimes there's no good answer to the questions that we ask when, even after our fervent prayers, our hearts break to watch someone die, or a father succumbs to addiction, or we watch kids bully a less able child, or children are sold into human slavery, or any of hundreds of other earthly evils, including, I might add, collapse of buildings, taking hundreds of people down in the middle of the night. But because these two stories in Mark's good news, we can see glimmers of hope. Even before he met Jesus on the roadway, Jairus' heart was being changed, and the woman was recognizing new possibilities for her life. Through faith, their prayers for healing were not simply an exercise in trying to bend God's will to their own, or force God's desires for life to mirror their demands. In faith, these two people asked for a gift from someone they believed had the compassion and the capacity to provide for them. Asking for such favors requires humility and trust. Characteristics that are necessary for people to move into deeper relationship with one another and with the Father God of all life. And growing in relationship together means that whether or not God's mind and heart are changed by our prayers, our hearts and minds surely will be. Don't you wonder what happened next in the new lives of this woman and Jairus and his daughter? Healed of their deepest pain to greater wholeness, standing close to God's heart, how will they respond to the gift of new life? Hmm.
Have you ever seen x-rays of broken bones? Anybody? Yeah? Yeah. When the doc showed me how crumbled the bone in my wrist was after an accident, I kind of worried that I'd never be able to use it again. Then, after surgery, the x-rays showed a hand that was quite different from the one that had never been broken. I don't know that you can see it, but there's this funky thing inside my right wrist, holding bones together. The brokenness within us won't necessarily be restored to just as we were before, but through faith, restoration happens. My hand does work, kind of. Through faith, the Holy Spirit still has Jesus' power, compassion, and authority to heal those who are dying or addicted or bullied or are victims of human trafficking. The Spirit will soothe the souls of the trauma victims of that Floridian collapse. The thing is, just as God worked through my doc to repair my wrist, God seeks to work through all of us to nurture the hurts of people around us. We are to become Jesus' hands and voice so people might be made whole through faith in Christ. We are the ones who are being asked to say, Talitha cum. Cum. The thing of it is, unless we show them our faith, be it through donations to One Great Hour of Sharing, or to helping Chinua Stock with her Peruvian ministry, or show up at Eastside Ministries to sort cans for their food bank, people in need will not hear Jesus' call. They won't feel his hope, and they will not feel whole. That crazy rat thing, it appears to shrink waistlines to dream sizes. And yet the flab comes back, and you need to buy another wrap to keep the body image where you want it to be. So is that look really the wholeness anyone seeks? My friends, Jesus hears our prayers for all kinds of healing and answers them with the words, Talitha cum. His answer may not look like we envisioned. The wholeness of the new life to which we are called is totally unlike that which we have ever experienced. And because of our relationship with Jesus, we are invited to invite others to new life. It's not a crazy rap thing, but it's a crazy big job. And the realness is so much more life-giving than the illusions of plastic wrap. My friends, may your new life with Christ, the one you have been invited to, be blessed. And may you bless others through it. Talitha cum.
The Apostles' Creed can be found on page 14 at the top of the page in the blue hymnal. Let us stand as we're able and say together what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Ever listening, ever loving God, on this beautiful summer day,
we come together to worship you. We come with thankful hearts and minds, for you have gifted us with families and friends, love, and reasonably good health. In our moments of affliction, we have called out to you and discovered that you have listened with a loving heart. In our moments of joy, we've praised your name and discovered you rejoiced with us. For your ever-present attention to us and so much more, we give you thanks. O freeing God, we give thanks to you for the significant ways you have been involved with us. We have experienced your abiding presence, and we celebrate that blessing. Even though the world says we should trust only ourselves, time and again, when we choose to trust you, in grace you transform our difficulties and troubled times. You, O Lord, have reached out to us, welcomed us into your heart, and given us new hope. You have responded to our needs and answered our prayers, sometimes in wondrous ways only you can imagine. And yet, sometimes, when we have called on you for peace or for blessings, you seem to be far away from us, and we could not tell if you have heard our prayers. So it is in faith that we continue to pray and seek your guidance, help, and blessings. And we trust that you will forever keep your word. We give thanks for the faith and trust you give to strengthen us, especially when we've been unfaithful to you through arrogance or when we've believed ourselves to be above the failings of other people. O trustworthy and faithful God, we give thanks for your gifts of faith and hope, and for the courage to step out into the future with the knowledge that you will travel with us, and that even if we stumble and fall or have times of doubts or fears, you will be there to pick us up and set us up again on the right path that leads us home to you. Hear us now, O blessed Savior, as we lift up to you prayers of our heart for the world, its leaders, your church. We pray, too, for the residents of the heat-stricken West who are suffering mightily and those who suffer illness or are in fragile health, for those who grieve a lost relationship or the death of a loved one, and we especially lift up to you today those who survived and those families who grieve the loss of loved ones who lived in that Surfside, Florida condominium. Comfort them all with your love, with your tender touch, and hold them gently. Hold them in your loving embrace. We pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus, who loved us enough to offer us his healing touch, even if we only touch his clothing, and who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power.
As you're turning to hymn number 407, I'm going to have Kathy play through it one time. We have sung it before, but I'm not sure that you have. So you get to learn something new today. So she will play through it one time, and then we will sing in English.
That road with us. No matter what life throws at us, in faith and hope we pray. And even if God does not respond to our prayers in the way we want, God has responded. God has given us new life with the words Talitha Kum and invited us to go with God on the road and to invite others
into that journey with Jesus.
So go and do, invite, walk, pray, love, and know that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit goes with each and every one of you this day and always. Amen and amen.